Three young men had their world rocked. They lived a life for the Lord. Their parents loved the Lord. But so many people where they were living did not follow Him. They did not follow the Lord. So what God said, it says, okay guys, it says, if you won't follow me, then I'm going to send you into another place in which you will learn. You don't want to go there, but I'm going to take you there. And so that's what he did. We see back in 722 BC that 10 northern tribes, we've oftentimes called those 12 tribes. When I say the word tribe, we're talking about a family group. There were 12 family groups that came out of a man whose name was Israel. Earlier his name was Jacob, later it was changed to Israel. And they had a divided country over the course of time. The Syrians came down in a series of battles and took over the 10 northern tribes, that family. They moved them up in the area around Nineveh, and there they dispersed them. And while they were up there, not only did they take these 10 northern tribes north, but they took the Assyrians and they brought them down into the land of Samaria. So much that they intermarried. And there was no identity. Who would have been a Jew or who was not a pure Jew? And they worshipped, not at Jerusalem, but they worshipped at following the sin of a God named Jeroboam, who led them away from worshiping God in the proper way. Their life was kind of set to the side. Two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, they hung in there for another couple hundred years. But their hearts begin to wane. They begin to follow after what they call the gods of Baal. And when they begin to turn away from God, following Him with body, soul, mind, and spirit, then God says, look guys, I'm going to clean it up one way or the other. And so a series of three major battles came in. They were deported three times. Three different groups. In the first group, it was kind of the elitist class, the best of the best. And then the next wave defeated, and finally they took everybody but the very poorest of the poor. Well, while they deported them, in the first wave that went out, there was a young guy and he had three buddies. This guy's name was Daniel. And there was, and their new names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were all there. And the king said, this is what I want to do. I want you to go in. I want you to take the best of the best and train them in the way of the Babylonians. Give them the best food. Give them all. And then after 3 years, I want them to lead in the nation. That's what they did. Three guys torn away from their families, torn away from their homeland. They had to start all over. These three guys, though. The king said, this is what I want you to do. I want to give you the best and train you and lead. And so here's the food. And I said, wait a minute. They wanted to maintain the integrity with God. Here was the food of a new land, the wine, the meat, the rich food. That it would have been so easy just to fall in line and be like everybody else. But these guys said, no. We do not want to defile our body. And because we do not want to defile our body, this is what we want you to do. Give us peas and cornbread. Okay? Y'all understand that? Don't give us the rich meat of the king. Just give us peas and cornbread. And the guy said, look, if I do that, the king looks down at you, I'm a dead man. Because they didn't follow out his instructions. And these guys said, look, just 10 days. Just 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, if there's not a difference, then we'll do what you want us to do. 10 days later, they came back. These guys' faces were brighter. Their minds were brighter. And so, therefore, they allowed these four guys who said, I'm not going to bow down to the gods of this land, to the society, but I'm going to maintain my integrity and maintain my walk with God. And they became the best of the best. Now, what does all this have to do? I'm going to carry you on a journey this morning that's going to be a little bit unfair. Because I'm going to build a platform for you to try to say what's going on right now in the society in which we live in. And then in the latter part of the message, I'm going to throw in high gears and I'm going to just throw you little shots, a little mental pictures that I want you to capture, and because I'm going to carry you all the way from the land of captivity to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that is found in the book of Daniel, one of the most exciting books in the Bible. And if you'll grab hold to Daniel, you'll put it all together. It should be 3 to 6 months material that I give you this morning. So what does that mean? That means I'm going to give you a pill. You take the pill, drink it with water, and go home and see what happens. So be with me. Bear with me. Because we are taking now this cultural change, and I want to carry you now into the land and capture this. These tribes, this nationality of people, they were carried into a land of Babylon so that they would just become mixed up in the society, lose their identity, and never become a force to be reckoned with. Now, you can say, man, Daniel, that was tough. But the truth about the matter is this. You don't have to be carried into a distant land, deported, uprooted, for you to be challenged. For right here, much of the culture, our battles are going on. In fact, I want to list just about 10 battles, just bam, that are fighting us. Even while we speak, today in America, we have cultural battles going on. National cultural, tribal culture, youth culture. These battles are going on. For instance, when teenagers in youth groups run on at the mouth, forgetting all that are around them because they are so selfish, thinking that it's all about me, conflict's going to occur. There is a culture battle going on. Moral battles. Ten Commandments, marriage, sex, pornography, and drugs. When a federal government without a soul dictates the laws of the land in saying our society of same-sex marriage is an institution, it is acting under the force, under the rules of the Antichrist. You can literally see this is the rule of the Antichrist if you'll study Daniel. It actually comes out there, conflict occurs. Integrity battles. Some in authority say this, in God we trust, all others are liars. Major portion of our society, integrity battles. Heard these words this week. There are religious battles. To live for Christ is gain, we understand. But when people say they believe in God, but live as though God does not exist, they are practicing atheism. And that is a conflict that is occurring. Racial battles. All men are created in the image of God. It's hard to hate someone when you're eating with them. When respect for all mankind labels people with nicknames, conflicts occur. Nationality battles. When nationality colors respect for a man created in the image of God, the principle of a pilgrim traveling through this land on one's way to heaven is forgotten and conflicts occur. Historical battles. When what got us here is transcribed to purposefully reduce one's Christian heritage and the blood spilt in the name of God, making our nation great, and when the history books rewrite that, conflict occurs. Battles for truth. When truth is called a lie and a lie is called the truth, the pathway to freedom is lost. God's word is truth. When truth is denied by men, the truth still remains the truth. Men speak what is in their hearts, contrary to public opinion, but when they speak evil, conflicts occur and battles to live for God, when the church is under attack, when truth is under attack, when the soul of man is under attack, when living one's life for God is under attack, conflicts occur. Now, today, we are pilgrims passing through a country looking for a city whose author and maker is God. We are pilgrims. But values around us are waning, homes are crumbling, and leaders have lost their way. Children are being lost in the sea of immorality and godlessness, and the light of many lighthouses have been snuffed out. So we ask ourselves the question, is there anything that we can do about this? And the answer is yes. Bear with me. We are building a platform. And then after we cross over this platform, then what we're going to do, we're going to specifically look at Daniel and we're going to drill 12 ideas into your mind in rapid fashion. But we have to ask ourselves some important questions this morning. Are we going to give up God and country, or are we going to stand tall in the midst of changing times? Are we pursuing a path that leads to judgment in order that God would force purity on our body, soul, mind, and spirit and strength with His justice? Are we going to repent and say, Thy will be done? Are we sacrificing the future rewards for God, for temporary trinkets and momentary pleasures of sin? Are we going to die to live for God? Are we losing our identity through plurality and religious pluralism, or are we going to tell and walk the talk of Jesus Christ? So we ask ourselves the question, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we ready? Now, I want you to kind of listen in, eavesdrop. Y'all eavesdrop? Yeah, I don't know you eavesdrop. I can prove it. You want to hear what I'm about to say? Huh? I told you you were eavesdropping. When somebody starts whispering, you tune in to the although lights, it starts flashing because you want to, and then they start whispering. You think, maybe they're talking about me. And all of a sudden it starts flashing. I want you to eavesdrop in on the conversation. One of the guys that was walking around with Jesus asked him, hey, Jesus, when's all of these things going to occur? And Jesus said these words. Now, y'all just eavesdrop. Matthew 24:15, it says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the mountaintop not go down to anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in the days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation such as there's not been since the beginning of the world, and no, nor ever be. And unless the days be shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Did you catch on? He started talking about something that Daniel, who's this guy? Abomination of desolation. And you're going to say, well, what is that? I can't tell you exactly what it is, but I can give you some pictures. Jesus picked up on what Daniel was saying that was going to happen in the end times. 7 years is going to be tribulation. First 3.5 years, things are going to be so normal. But the last 3.5 years, all hell is going to break loose. The Antichrist is on the scene. He's going to take place. And then all of a sudden, they're in this rebuilt temple in Jerusalem where they're making sacrifices to God. The abomination of desolation is going to take place. What is the abomination of desolation? What I can do for you, and what I know for certain, is I can look at those words right there. Abomination comes from a Hebrew word called sheak, means to be filthy, to loathe, to abhor. It's something that's filthy. It's something that's idolatrous. Moving over into the New Testament, it is something detestable, something idolatrous. And so something is going to happen that is so ugly, so filthy. The people in that region, in that city, the moment it happens, they're going to know it. CNN's going to promote it. Fox Network's going to pick it up. It's going to go instantaneously, but those who are in the city, all of a sudden, they're going to, the Lord Jesus said, get out right now. Don't look back. It's about to happen. Give me a picture. Help me to understand this. In the early first century, there was one of the kings, one of the ruling governors of the land, went into the area of Jerusalem, and there where they had sacrificed unto the Lord God, he built this altar. And when he built this altar, he turned around and he sacrificed a pig on it. Jews and pigs don't go together, okay? And they sacrificed this pig's blood. And for them, that was the abomination and desolation when they desecrated this holy place. That's just a snapshot. But it's going to be so horrible that when you hear it, you know Jesus had spoken about it. Okay, you with me now? Still with me? Dustin, you got me. You with me, buddy? Okay, all right, we're together. All right, now, Daniel says, get ready. And here's where we're going to put it in high gear, and y'all are going to have to step up with me. And you got to follow along with your Bible. So, you know what the Bible is? Yeah, I see many of you got it, and you got it rolling. Because what you can do, you can go along and you put little marks in your Bible so you go back and read it. So you can find it and you can say, I wonder where that is. And so what I do, I go back and I look at that little dot that's in my Bible. Ah, there it is. I know y'all don't dot, y'all underline, highlight, and some are so spiritual they don't touch it. Okay, it's all right if you don't touch it. I'm not knocking that. I had kin folks that if you put a mark in the Bible, I'm not telling you where you're going to go. Okay, but anyhow, what God is telling us here, He wants you to know the truth. In chapter 1, test of purity. Let me give you the background. Four teenage boys standing on their convictions. They would say, give us peas and cornbread rather than meat and wine. These guys maintain their integrity. Follow me. Because what he's telling us right here is that we need to acknowledge your body is from the Lord Jesus. I'm going to pick it up in chapter 1, verse 11. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's their Hebrew names, okay? Later they're going to be changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So, can you acknowledge that your body is for Jesus Christ? In fact, your life depends on your devotion to purity. Ooh, would you imagine that what you eat is going to make a difference? Yes, it is when it comes to the purity of the heart. Your body belongs. In fact, are you alive or dead today? Man, you can say, man, I'm alive, living, I'm breathing, right? Well, we're going to be studying transformed in how long? 2 weeks. And when we study that, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You got it so far? Acknowledge your body is for Jesus Christ. Young people, let me tell you what you ought to do today. You ought to show up, some of us old fogies. Do it. Show us up. By doing what? by living your life for Jesus Christ so much, so pure, so right, that the guys that are around you and the girls that are around you say there's something different about them. And then when you walk into this area, all of a sudden the adults look at you and say, that's the one. He's sold out. He's given, she's given her body. Jesus. Chapter 2 kicks in. There's going to be a test of prayer. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, all of a sudden they've become prophets. I mean, they're leaders. They understood. They were the leaders. They were the wise men. Dream. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about something in the night, and he told the wise man, said, if you do not come out here and you don't tell me the interpretation, the dream, the interpretation, you're a dead man. Now, how would you like that? If you went to work tomorrow morning and all of a sudden your boss said to you, if you don't tell me what I dreamed last night, you're fired. Would that increase your prayer life? Let's go one step further. You go tomorrow and your boss tells you, not only you're fired, but I'm going to kill you. Okay? Would that increase your prayer life? And not only that, but everybody that goes to church with you are going to be killed because you don't tell me what I dreamed and the meaning of it. Now, what would you do for the church? Would you call some of the, would you start the prayer chain going? Would you start calling some of the people in church and say, look, this is what's happening, this is for real, that's what happened. Except it was the wise men, it wasn't the church. Test of prayer. What have we got to do? Lives are depending on your prayers to Jesus Christ. This is not a little statement. Lives are depending on your prayers for life. Can I say that a little bit closer? Lives are depending on you. Whether some people live or die, it's going to depend on your prayer. Mercy flows out of heaven. We need to tap heaven. Word came out from the king. Because they did not tell me the dream and the interpretation of the dream, kill every one. That came from the king. Word came up to Daniel. They were going to take him to have him killed and his three buddies. And they said, wait a minute, let us pray about it and we'll give you the answer. And they did. And they did. And so what does the Bible say to us? Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. God may give you a revelation. He may give you an answer of a dream. It's something that's awesome like this next picture, I think. Yeah. That was the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And he told them about the kingdoms that were coming. Babylonians would be the golden head, and then the Medes and the Persians would be the silver shoulders, and then the thighs would be the Grecian, and the legs and the feet would be the Romans. That was the interpretation of the dream. What is God going to tell you for somebody else? Because you prayed for them. Somebody's life is in your hands. Are you going to pray? Chapter 3. I should have picked you up. In your Bibles, turn to chapter 3, verse 17. Because we're going to be talking about these three guys now. Daniel's not in this picture, but the three are. In chapter 3, in verse 17 and 18, it says, background behind this, they had this statue that was built up. Next slide, guys. They had this statue that's built up because we got a test of trust right here. You got to stand on what you believe, even in the face of death. Faith stretches beyond the grave. Are you ready to stand? They had a statue. And they said, everyone, for the next 30 days, you're supposed to bow down and worship. If anybody worships any other god other than this statue, pray to anybody else, you're going to be thrown into the fire. Guess what happened? These teenage boys, they didn't bend and they didn't bow and they didn't burn. These three teenage boys said no. Listen in chapter 3 and verse 16. The scripture says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O king, said the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set before, which you have set up. These guys said, face of the king, forget it. You know what they would have said today? They would have said, shut up! Isn't that what the young people say? They'll get pretty close to it. You know? Shut up! No, we won't do it. They wasn't disrespectful to them. He said, we won't do it. What happened? You remember the story? Shadrach, Meshach, they fired up the furnace so hot, 7 to 10 times hot. They fired it up so hot that the guys that took him and threw him in, they died. And you know what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They started walking around smiling. They didn't burn at all. They didn't even smell like smoke. And you know what else happened? Somebody met them in the fire. I believe it was Jesus too. And they walked and talked. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, he got fired up because he looked down there and he saw in the fire and he saw, didn't you put in three men? They said, yeah, but now I see four. And one of them's walking around like the Son of God. Do you want to meet Jesus? Amen. All right, get in the fire. You want to meet him? You may have to get in the fire. It's hot. Yeah. It can burn. Oh, it can. It's uncomfortable. Oh, yes, it is. Get in the fire. You want to meet Jesus? Many of you are going to have to get in the fire to see him. Up front and personal. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay. Now comes the part I don't like. We got to put it in high gear. There's a test of humility. Chapter 4. King comes along. God sends a message through a dream in Daniel. All of a sudden, in chapter 4, verse 17, the decision is decreed by the watchers, the sentence by the word of the Holy One, in order that you may know that the Most High God in the kingdom of men, God, it gives it to whomever he will and sets over the lowest of men. Here's what's happening. This king started thinking it was all about him. And God said, big boy, it's happening. He made him go mad for several months. His fingernails grew out like these wicked witch of the West. You know, fingernails that long. He started eating grass like a cow, like an oxen for months. Until he came to his senses and he said, it's the Lord. He is God. We've got to acknowledge the Savior and the sovereignty of God. Pride stands on slippery slopes and pride paves the way for a fall. Chapter 5, we all of a sudden we recognize and we see Daniel's now in another situation. The king is now there, and all of a sudden we see this king's having an orgy going on. He's having this big alcohol bust, and they said, bring out all of the bring out all of the things, the vessels that we got from Jerusalem, and let's drink out of it. Let's worship the gods of gold and the gods of wine. And then all of a sudden, a hand appears and it starts writing words. Mene, mene, tekel, euphrasium. Now, how many of y'all would stay here till it's over with? Or would y'all already clean house if you saw a hand appeared? That's what happened. King of Babylon, this is what God said. You've been tried in the balance and been found wanting. Tonight, you're a dead man. What do you say? Breath. Number five, breath abides in the hand of God. That's where it's going to abide. We've got to think about God. Understand Jesus holds men accountable for their actions and all these things. Number six, in chapter six, we see that heaven joins in deliverance. And inside of this, it's another one of those pictures in which some men wanted to get a political personnel out, so they dreamed up a scheme and say, "Oh King, look, let's have it so that everybody will rally around you, King, and pray only to you." Daniel wouldn't pray. Daniel, all of a sudden, what happens to Daniel? Daniel's thrown into a lion's den, and Daniel is there in the midst of all these wild animals, and he says this: God sent His angel and closed their mouths. Can you imagine laying in a pit with a big putty cat? I'm talking about big putty cat. I sometimes wonder if He made him a pillow. Next picture. Let me see if I've got that one in there. Yeah. I want you to see something very important before I hit this next. Do you see? This is a picture. What do you see right there? Y'all help me out real quick now. What do you see? Lions. What else? Daniel. What else? He's looking up. Yeah? Yeah? You see the eyes of Daniel? The eyes are looking up. If you were in there, what would you be looking at? You see the difference? Keep your eyes on Jesus. The lions are around you. God's going to take care of the lions. But you keep your eyes on Jesus. And if you keep your eyes on Jesus and focus on Jesus, He will deliver you. Now, in chapter 7, we go in and we begin to see these visions. And all I can do is tell you what's happening there in chapter 7. Christ's kingdom is going to reign. In chapter 7 and verse 13, He says, "I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near. Then to Him was given dominion and glory and a king, that all the peoples and nations and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." All I can say is steady your course toward the kingdom of God. For His kingdom is coming. Cannot develop this time before you, but if you would look in Jude 1:14-15, you would see how, behold, the Lord is coming with 10,000s of His saints. He's coming, and He's coming to set up a kingdom. Chapter 8. Evil superhero fails to win. And what you can see in this chapter is the picture of the Antichrist. This is Satan's Superman. Folks, you thought it was only in Revelation. It's not. It's found in the book of Daniel. And Satan's Superman comes on the scene. But we've got to comprehend that Satan's superstar, he's going down. There was about 10 years that many people Didn't believe that Hitler would ever go down. Hitler went down. There's a lot of people who don't believe that Satan's going down, nor Satan's superhero. But folks, the Bible tells us that he is going down. Revelation 8:12. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that third of them were darkened. A third of that day did not shine. And likewise, in other words, Satan and all his cronies, these fallen angels, going down. Only picture I can give to you right now is, y'all remember David and Goliath? What did David do? Knocked him in the head. He went down, didn't he? David walked up there, didn't even have a sword. David walked over there and took Goliath's own sword, cut his head off, held it up. Listen, folks, Antichrist is going down. Chapter 9, Christ's death occurred for many. We must realize the death of Christ carried the stamp of God. Jesus died to the exact day and to the exact hour prophesied by Daniel. Jesus Christ died. But the Bible says, look in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Jesus Christ, it was told to us how Jesus Christ would die for you and he would die for me. Christ's death occurred. It was prophesied to the day, folks. We could share more, but in chapter 10, the spiritual warfare continues. In chapter 10, I want you to read it in verse 12, where it says, "Do not fear, Daniel, for that day said in your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, and your words were heard. And I have come because of your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to you so that you might understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the visions refer to many days to come." What happened? Michael was an archangel. Gabriel was an angel. Satan was fighting the angels. For Satan is an angel. And the battle is on, folks. What we must realize and what we need to appreciate is that we have angels that are fighting on our behalves. Many times we don't even know it, see it, may not ever understand it. But if we can appreciate it, we can become stronger. The only way I can picture this happening right here is Star Wars on steroids. There's a battle. There's a battle going on. Chapter 11, Satan's superheroes destroy. Picture Satan, superstar, all alone now. Chapter 11, verse 44, "But the news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with a fury to destroy and annihilate many, and he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him." You see, his superstar. No one to help him. He's going down. Lastly, I want you to see in chapter 12. In chapter 12, you can read in the text, in verses 1 through 3, it says, "At that time Michael shall stand up, the great priest who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even so that, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Christians. Christians shall be purified, made white, and tried. Christians. Can you grasp this just for a second? Can you see a book? Can you see somebody with a pen writing the book? And then let me ask you a question. Can you see somebody writing your name in the book? Because if your name's not in the book, you're going to go to hell. If your name's not in the book, you're going to understand the wrath of God. If your name's not in the book, you're going to understand when He starts talking about the fires that burn forever and ever and the lake of fire, you're going to understand that. But if your name is in the book, then one day, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound. And if you've already died and your body's turned to dust, He's going to look at the book. And if your name's in there, He's going to say, go get them. The dead in Christ are going to rise. Then if you're still alive, when Christ comes back, He's going to look in the book. And if your name's in the book, He's going to say to His angels, go get it. And you're going to be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall you ever reign. And then look. You're going to look up at the skies. And there's going to be some who have led people to the Lord. And they're going to be shining. Bright, brighter than the stars. Just for a moment, can you picture yourself shining bright? Yeah. Your name, is it written in the book? Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, Lord, You're looking at the book. And Father, I pray that every person that's in here is named in the book. But if not, Lord, please place it upon their hearts this day to ask Jesus to write their name in the book. And let them confess their sins and ask Jesus to be the Lord of their life. Lord, we pray that many out of this room right here will shine bright. We pray that all will be in that group that rises from the ground to life. Lord, You told us. You sent a boy into captivity, into a foreign country, so that he could hear You speak. And He spoke and He wrote about it. So today, Lord, we want to carry it on. Help us, Lord, to shine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If your name's not written in the book, it can be. How does that happen? The Bible says that if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, God will save us. What do you need to do? You need to repent of your sins and you need to ask Jesus into your heart. Amen. That's what we do. He's the one who does the writing in the book. Is your name in the book? Daniel said two words to us today, get ready. Are you ready? Prayer altars are open. People need to make decisions, but we all need to get ready because we know what's coming. Let's stand together. Get ready. Get ready. He's coming. Let's pray. Jesus, today we walk out with a message from the past. Get ready. Lord, I'm looking forward to heaven. But until then, Lord, if getting in the fire is what it's going to take to see you face to face, Father, I pray that many will join me. And let's get on fire. And let's get in the fire. Because we know that's where you are. So Lord, as we prepare to live this week for your honor and for your glory, facing the many things that are in front of us, we know we have the victory in Jesus Christ. So we walk out of here knowing that you lead us. And we walk out of here knowing the best is yet to come. But we walk out of here knowing there's a lot of living between now and then. Help us to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.